Test folder 5. You will hear part of a lecture about the development of suburbs in the USA. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Today we're looking at how the suburbs of cities in the USA have developed since the middle of the 20th century. But first, a little history. Suburbs have existed in various forms since antiquity, when cities typically were walled and the villages outside them were inferior in size and status. However, the modern American notion of the quiet, unspoiled outskirts as a retreat for the wealthy city dweller is in evidence as early as the 6th century BC in Babylon. Further early evidence comes from Cicero, writing in the 1st century BC, who refers to suburbani, large country estates just outside Rome. Throughout Europe, the distinction between the city and outlying districts tended to remain sharp through the Middle Ages and Renaissance. To accommodate a large influx of newcomers, city walls were expanded, or as with London, towns adjacent to the overcrowded city were gradually annexed to it. Generally considered a less desirable location, the urban periphery was inhabited largely by the poor. In England, the rich who owned weekend villas outside London gradually transferred their main residences there, and the middle class soon followed. By the mid-19th century, there was a marked preference for suburban living. Migration from the central city to the suburbs was encouraged by a succession of technological advances in transportation. Horse-drawn stagecoaches, railways, and the electric streetcar or trolley all enabled urban dwellers to commute longer distances than had previously been practical. Now in Europe, unlike the United States, suburbs grew organically as a response to human needs, and each suburb there generally has a center and often has a quite distinct quality from other suburbs. Since the mid-20th century, however, North America has seen a distinctive pattern of growth called suburban sprawl, an almost endless spread of low-density housing without any distinct neighborhood centers. This is an artificial system, conceived by architects, engineers, and planners, and it's already showing itself to be unsustainable. Unlike the traditional neighborhood, sprawl is not healthy growth. It's essentially self-destructive. It consumes land at an alarming rate while producing insurmountable traffic problems. As the ring of suburbia grows around most North American cities, so the void at the center grows too. Business and people move to fresher locations on a new suburban edge, leaving behind deteriorating downtown neighborhoods, which can only be revitalized with enormous effort. Suburban sprawl came about as the direct result of a number of U.S. federal policies. The most significant were the housing and loan programs, which, from the 1940s, provided mortgages to encourage home purchase. These mortgages were directed at new single-family suburban construction, discouraging the renovation of existing housing stock and the construction of higher-density housing. Simultaneously, a major highway program, coupled with the neglect of mass transit, helped make automotive commuting affordable and convenient for the average citizen.